From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 26, 2010. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial industry, location-based information, technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today we'll discuss a GIS cloud computing initiative by the Western States Contracting Alliance. We'll talk about the RFI that was issued and what this might mean for other state governments who need GIS technology but are facing radical budget cuts. But first, a word from our sponsor. MapInfo Professional version 11.0 is now available. Visit www.pbinsight.com to download the 30-day trial, which includes enhancements such as a redesigned browser window for better data analysis, the ability to perform memory-intensive operations through enhanced support of 64-bit operating environments, as well as premium services for instant access to worldwide road-level tile data. First, some background about this request for information that was issued back in November 2010 by the Western States Contracting Alliance, the responses of which were submitted in February of this year with subsequent meeting of the consortium this past June 14th to 16th in Helena, Montana. This RFI was developed to obtain information on the economic and technical feasibility of government GIS services being sourced by cloud computing providers. So in this consortium, Montana was the lead state with assistance from the other three states. 23 providers responded to the RFI, and they represented a more or less broad range of computing companies with their individual business models. This Western States Contracting Alliance was formed in 1993 by state purchasing directors of the National Association of State Procurement Officers. The primary purpose, obviously, is to establish a means for getting these states to jointly participate in cooperative multi-state contracting. So why did they issue this RFI? Well, and according to the report, that you know, the IT business climate at the state level is grim, as it states. The FY 2011 state general fund spending will be $42 billion less than it was in FY 2008. The states are facing a wide variety of business and technical challenges, and the rationale for getting a better understanding of cloud services was simply cost. The business case, therefore, is that GIS cloud computing initiative is aimed at addressing both the priorities of investigating cloud computing alternatives to states' in-house GIS structures. Again, I'm quoting from the report. The cloud computing approach offers the potential for significant cost savings, and we'll get into that a little bit. The RFI had three primary objectives, obviously cost efficiencies, flexibility, and the reduction of staff time. One of the findings of the RFI process by the Alliance was, quote, achieving the largest vendor discounts for GIS cloud services, and hopefully that will require participation of some federal agencies. And that's a big question that we kind of wanted to get into, was will the federal agencies actually participate in this? Because that's the only way they're going to get a reduced cost. They found through this process that federal agency GIS requirements were probably more than 100 times as large as the combined four states in this RFI. So will the vendors permit the states to aggregate volumes to achieve deeper discounts, and will federal agencies be motivated to participate with the states? And that's a big maybe. That's where I want to stop, and where we're going to explore right now is whether we think this was a valuable process, because this alliance is really establishing a precedent that is being used. And maybe the first question, Dean, is do we believe that establishing best practices at this kind of consortium level is going to work? The report outlines some very basic concerns, and I think that's where we want to start, is this a good precedent, and will it work?
I think it's a great idea. And I think if you look at sort of where it came from, which was, let's all work together so we can get a lower price when we buy paper towels and paving and trucks and all that other stuff that governments need. And we know how that works for those kinds of products. And in fact, we know how it works for some kinds of services as well. But this is like a whole different commodity. And just as you were talking, that was highlighted, because when you look at just storing data, that's really only one small piece of cloud computing, of course, right? Because that's sort of the infrastructure part, and then you've got the platform part, and then you've got the software as a service part, and you've got costs for uploading and downloading and moving from the enterprise to the cloud. I mean, it's a very complex kind of thing, and even to articulate what it is all of these states might want that is in fact in common, I think is a really difficult thing. But to go back to the economics of it, the idea is to sort of map the economics of buying paper towels in bulk to buying cloud computing in bulk. And if this effort is going to start to get the vendors to think that way, and one of the things that I read in the summation of the responses to the RFI was that the vendors really weren't thinking this way yet. It was very much a one organization to a vendor relationship. So I think more power to them. Let's go see how far this can go.
The responses that were provided were of a variety of services. You had Amazon and IBM for essentially infrastructure and to some degree platform. You had some of the other GIS providers that are giving the software as a service component. They were all giving pieces. I didn't see anybody giving the full enchilada, right? There wasn't anybody who was going to do everything for them. And I guess that was the point of the RFI, is let's just see what kind of responses we get and whether that jives with their thinking. And I would bet that at that meeting, a lot of their thinking perhaps changed to saying, well, maybe we need a little deeper investigation as to either a provider that can do it all, can do the whole thing for them, or did it alter their thinking as to whether they're really going to get cost savings in general? Because one of the things that was said in the report was, and this was specific to Esri Software, and they said software costs are normally about 20% of all IT costs. Esri Software licensing costs will probably not change significantly if the states use the cloud, though several of the vendors are formal Esri business partners. None commented that licensing costs were a potential source of cost savings, unquote. I thought that was a real eye-opener for me, because isn't that part of the objective?
The other layer on top of that, which again adds to the complexity, is several of the states already have state contracts with the SRI.
Right.
So that in a sense, they won't have to pay for software no matter what kind of implementation goes on, ideally. So how do you sort of factor that in? Now, the meeting that you're talking about is the workshop that happened in June, is that right?
Right, correct.
Right, and that was an opportunity for the participants to talk about a range of issues and for several of the vendors to come in and speak. And if I understand correctly, 6 vendors were invited, 5 attended, and 4 of the presentations that were given are available in the show notes. So if you want to see what IBM said and what Amazon said, you can do that. I have to say, that event sounds like it was a terrific learning opportunity. And again, the complexity of this comes out again. Just trying to figure out what it is you're asking for and who the players are. One of the comments in the document that we reviewed said that many people had heard of many of the vendors, but there were a couple we'd never heard of.
Right.
And I agree, there are a couple in that list of 23 that I've never heard of.
And it makes you wonder how they got wind of the RFI if they weren't exactly or directly involved with GIS. But
and several of them were not, had no GIS experience.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's good. Again, let's spread the net really wide and see what's out there.
And one of the things I wanted to touch on was, and it said in the document, one of the most attractive features of cloud computing is rapid entry and exit by customers as their business needs dictate. And I think this is a real issue to dwell on, because everybody must have different priorities. And one of the ways they thought was that they were going to mitigate this was all parties need to understand that the community cloud is merely a way for governmental units to bring an aggregated demand to the market to get better pricing. It didn't really address the fact that they've all got different focuses in terms of analytics, storage, and it had to come to light.
Maybe they're not all even running on the same operating systems.
Yeah, yeah. It had to bring a range of conflicting situations to the table, because, again, in the past, historically, everybody's approached GIS acquisition quite differently and quite disparate, and counties would do something entirely different than the states would do. Yeah, I applaud their efforts, but it's leading them down a path which is probably only going to get more complicated as they go through it.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because maybe what's going to come through is there are some things that we can, in fact, if you like, buy in bulk. And if it's storage, that's much simpler than buying platform. And platform, I would argue, is probably easier than buying software as a service. That's just sort of off the top of my head. But maybe we can find that common ground that, in fact, you know, we all need to buy paper towels, and as long as they're made out of paper and white, we're okay with that. Maybe there's sort of a comparable sort of common denominator thing in cloud computing where we can at least start to push ahead with the cost savings.
Well, what is this really saying? And you said it, I think, better earlier, which is that this is a new model that, for a number of reasons, is being developed because of the limitations in state government budgeting. So it's very similar to our current situation in Congress in the budget deficit. You have to get this done. The budgets are slashed radically. If you want to use GIS and you believe that that's a technology that is useful to your government as a whole, for in the end reducing costs in many different services, you've got to find a way to share resources. And data has always been that element that we want to share, that cross-boundary utilization and district applications are ones that you want to take advantage of, but never really got to. That was always the bugaboo, right? That, you know, this county is using Esri and this other county is using Intergraph and another one's using MapInfo. This has to come to some resolution, and I think this is the only way you do it, is by these multi-state contracts.
Well, and there's one other advantage to this, too, that makes me think a lot about college. And remember when you had that really difficult problem set in organic chemistry or something? And what did you do? You got together with your five closest friends who were better at it than you, and you learned together. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what's going on here. And these public documents, and I applaud the organization for choosing Montana to be the lead, because they have very specific rules about responses to RFIs having to be public so they cannot contain confidential information. All this stuff is public, and it's incredibly valuable for anybody in the U.S. or otherwise to have a look at the questions that they asked, the kinds of responses they got. This is really good stuff, just trying to understand what's going on in cloud computing for GIS.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought that was really interesting how they made a point of what this structure might look like. And again, I'm going to quote from the report. It says, the governance organization will likely take a loosely federated form. State and local government funding cycles and their funding instability constrain their ability to make concrete ongoing commitment to services. And the mitigation of this problem is, as discussed in the previous point, individual commitments may be on a month-to-month or quarterly basis, and customers pay only for what they actually use. So they've already started to think about the process of what individual states and districts may, what the form is that may take.
And what the governance of this group that's going to ideally do the contracting is going to look like. In fact, there's a whole presentation on that topic, which was held at that workshop.
Right. And in the end, what apparently has been the result of the RFI is that they are going to issue an RFP. And it'll be quite interesting how this shakes out, because I think they learned a lot, and certainly it's of interest to us here, but I think they will learn a tremendous amount from going through the RFP process.
And I think everybody watching will learn a lot as well. So they're doing a lot of homework for a lot of us.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Pitney Bowes Business Insight, would like to remind you that MapInfo Professional version 11.0 is now available. The product includes a redesigned browser window for better data analysis and the ability to perform memory-intensive operations. Visit www.pbinsight.com to download the 30-day trial version. We'd like to remind you that the 2011 Rocket City Geospatial Conference has a call for presentations, and we'd like to invite you to submit a topic of your choosing, but particularly focused on three large topics that we think are of interest: cybersecurity, the impact of tornadoes from April 27th in northern Alabama and that of Joplin, Missouri, and site selection for our country's nuclear power plants. More information can be found at www.rocketcitygeospatial.com. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can do so at the location where this podcast is posted, or to write to us directly at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.